Cape Talk.
Cape Talk. The Open Line.
Call 021-446-0567.
It's 28 minutes to 12 o'clock. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Morning Review. The lines are now open. 021-446-0567. You call me with whatever is on your mind. We don't schedule any interviews for this final 30 of the show. It's between me and you, you and I. And you get to share your story on 021-446-0567. Jack in Plumstead, good morning. Thanks for calling in. How are you?
Good, thanks, Kirsten. And you?
I'm all right. What's on your mind?
Lester, I heard, in fact, I wasn't listening on the radio, but I looked on your Cape Talk on my internet, and you were talking to a guy about a passport or proof of vaccination the other day.
Gosh, I can't remember what we did yesterday. Remind me.
You were talking to the chap from the Football Association.
Oh, yes. On how we make sure if there is this vaccine passport that is required. Again, it's still in a policy stage, nothing being implemented yet. On how do we make sure that people don't fraudulently, you know, get into places where they require some form of proof of vaccination.
Exactly right.
Jacques Robillard, he's an expert on crowds and sports stadiums. He was the CEO of the company that owned the FNB stadium.
Absolutely, that's the guy. Mm-hmm. Now, Lester, what I've done is I have been in the information business for all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd realized that this problem was developing. Yeah. So what I've done is I've created a product called COVAC19.site. Mm-hmm. What happens is you get a plastic card, mm-hmm. credit card, with a specific code number on it that mm-hmm. you can go and you can check the details online. You also get a widget so that you can keep on your phone, on your cell phone, mm-hmm. and just show your cell phone or the credit card mm-hmm. type as you go into the event.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to prove to me that you've, to COVAC, mm-hmm. that you've already been vaccinated fully. In other words, that plastic you were talking about, that flimsy plastic paper.
Not even a plastic, it's a piece of cardboard, but yes.
It's a piece of little cardboard, yeah. Wow. You know. So what you've got to do is you've got to provide us with that piece of cardboard, or a copy of that,
mm-hmm.
Plus your ID, plus a more recent picture, mm-hmm. photograph. Because let's be honest, your ID, I don't know about yours, I wouldn't buy a used car from me. So the idea is to put a more recent picture on it. So on your credit card or on your cell phone, you would have a picture of yourself saying, I'm fully vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the backup in case you lose the document, because it's not only about keeping the document. It's about losing it or damaging it,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that's the concept that there is, and it's actually operating as we speak.
I'm absolutely excited that people like you are looking for solutions to this and to this issue of, and again, it's not policy yet. It's still a discussion, just to warn people, ward them off of now shouting, you see vaccine passports and the government. There's nothing yet. It is a discussion, but I'm glad like Jack are starting to develop these ideas. Would this thing need to be backed by any official backing? Would it have to be, or is there a way to connect it to the EVDS website? Because I don't have my card right now, so I can detail the number, but there's a number that is connected to EVDS.
There's a code.
So if we had a central database somewhere where people can type in, and then they can verify, okay, this card is legit. It is connected to EVDS. Could we sort of, in the back end, connect it to a national system?
At the moment, I haven't got a connection, okay? Mm. Because, you know, as you know, there's a whole lot of talking and so on. But the code number and your own specific code that COVAC will give you, okay, that number is on the background information that you can have access to, what I call the vaccination certificate. So there's you'll get also an email copy of your vaccination certificate. So it's basically a three-part thing: a credit card environment, an online environment, and a back a certificate to show that you've got it. And indeed, there's a background website that you can go into and key in your number and get that same copy of the certificate available to you.
I'm very, very glad that, people like you are, starting to think of this already and finding opportunities where there is a problem, there is a situation, there is a possibility that we could require some form of identification. Same identification that we would need if you were to be traveling abroad to a yellow fever area example. So there's nothing new about this type of thing. Are you hoping to get someone in government to listen to you? Yes, I am.
You know, it's one of those things, Lester, that's a chicken and egg. You know, they don't want to talk to you until you can show them that it's going.
But you can't get going necessarily until you can. You got some backing.
To be perfectly honest, there's, 15 million people that have already been vaccinated, okay? And if only like 1% of those were to, or even a very small number, were to show that there was interest, then there would be more interest from both government and, in fact, the other people that I'm approaching are the medical aides. Because for argument's sake, I'm on Discovery. And Discovery would have paid for it for me, okay? So Discovery, on the credit card thing, there's room there for them to put some sort of advertising and to say this sponsored by Discovery or whatever, you know?
Well, Jack, I'm very happy that you at least are thinking about this and you're putting a product or an idea out there for your sake. I hope it is picked up by someone maybe at a corporate or in government is listening to this. Just that website one more time, you know, so that people are keen to look at it. Where can they go to?
If anybody's in and based upon the fact that we've got this conversation, the cost of it is 120 rand. The first 10 that I get today, I will do for nothing.
Okay.
The website address is COVAC, COVAC, in other words, COVID vaccine 19, COVAC19, dot site, SITE.
Okay, then let me put it to you. I understand you have your own capital output that you need to do. You have to run the printers and all that and get the little plastic cards that you print on. So I fully understand that. What is then the difference between this and, for example, if I just laminate my vaccination card, my government issue vaccination card, that is already very dog-eared and worn?
Exactly. Listen, there's two things, okay? There's a whole lot more backup to this. There's a computer system that would give you a copy if you required it in paper, okay? And you would have a copy of that on an email within 48 hours anyway, so that you've got that on your computer. So the question of losing it or damaging it goes away. Secondly, it's just ease of use.
I get you.
To reflect the credit card or to reflect it on your cell phone as you go into the Cape Town Stadium, as you were talking to that other gentleman the other day.
Jack, at least you're thinking about it and you're thinking about opportunities of how do we formalize some sort of system. So credit to you in that regard. The lines are open, 021-446-0567. Let's go to a quick voice note. Let's hear what you're talking about on the voice note line here, 072-567-1567.
Hi, Lester. My name is Bevan. I grew up in the Athlone area in the 70s and early 80s. I used to frequent Basil's Hair World in Lawrence Road. Used to go there, every second month or so. And what an experience, eh? I used to debate about football and music. And that was the time when the Athlone Hotel was still there in Lawrence Road. But always a pleasant experience. Never forget those times. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Tip Top Barber. That's where I used to go to. It was in Retreat Main Road. And I think it then moved. I moved a few times, but it was always the same guys. And there was always an old stack of old Sports Illustrated magazines. I can't believe I'm quite sure they were Liverpool supporters, but I remember seeing like a old, like a 1993, 1994, 5, 6, 7 Liverpool team photos. And that was, I guess, what barbershops looked like back then. We're sharing barbershop stories. We spoke to Warren Tennis. He's the founder of Groom for Change. He's embarked on a crowdfunding campaign. He wants to build a 28-seater bus so that he can go to rural areas and offer that groomed experience, that grooming experience for people who can't necessarily afford, you know, a unique barbershop experience, and he wants to offer it for free. So he set up a crowdfunding campaign on BackerBuddy. You can go search for it. It's called Groomed for Change. But the lines are open. 021-446-0567. Drop me a WhatsApp. 072-567-1567.
Cape Talk. Cape Talk. WhatsApp Leicester.
072-567-1567.
Costa, how are you doing? Long time no speak. Costa, are you there? Costa, coming in? Costa, are you there? No, Costa's not there. Costa's calling on the open line 021-446-0567. But let's go. Is Costa there? Oh, Costa, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Oh.
Hi.
How are you doing, my mate? Long time.
Lester, my brother, how are you?
Very good. You've called in to tell us something very interesting is happening on... We're on Signal Hill.
On Lion's Head.
On Lion's Head.
On Lion's Head.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
What's happening?
Do you remember last year when John Michelle set the record 13 times in 23 hours?
Yes, then there was some back and to and fro, and then there was someone who said no, but they didn't beat the record.
Yeah. A gentleman named Justin.
Yeah.
He went and set a new record, the 16 summits in 17 hours in November.
And are you going to tell me that Jean-Michel is going to try and break that 16 summit record?
He's busy right now. He's on summit number 7. He started 4:15 this morning. And he's on summit number 7. He's going strong. The heat is bashing down on him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to try and go all the way till tonight, 10 o'clock before curfew. And let's see what happens, man. He's doing this because we're also launching something new for Lion 500.
Uh-huh.
It's called the Lion Duro Project, where it's very similar to the Platter Clip Challenge, where you go up and down the cable car.
Mm.
But instead, you're going to be doing it on Lion's Head. And Jean is the ambassador for Lion Duro. So hopefully we can get some cool stuff going on.
So he's been up and down, yeah. Lion's Head 7 times already from what, 4:15 this morning?
This 4:15 this morning, correct.
Is he all right in his head?
No, none of us are, my friend. And that's why life is so interesting for us.
Wow, look, I would have loved to speak to Jean-Michel, but I'm sure he's busy now. Hopefully our team can get him.
I can't even get hold of him. He's in the zone, so yeah.
Just what's through him, or through you, what's his preparation been like? How do you prepare for what? He's going to try and make 17 summits in a day?
Look, last year he did it and he didn't have experience. This year he's going back with experience. He's also getting some advice from the big legends, you know, like your Jamie Murray, who, you know, it's always good to learn from the big guns how to do it. So he's much more open to learning, and he's applying new knowledge, new strategy. Instead of, you know, running down, he's going to walk down, because if you run down, it really absorbs a lot of your knees and it hurts some more. So it's a different strategy this time. We'll see how it goes. Last year, he started at 1 p.m. and went all the way till 10. So, and he did 7. And then the next morning, he did, from about 5 a.m., he did another 6.
Mm.
Which was, that meant that he slipped in between. But this time, he's going to try and use all that momentum and just keep going.
So how many hours is he trying to summit 17 times? Is it a full 24-hour cycle? Well, he can only go up until 10 o'clock at night because of curfew.
Say, because of curfew. If there was no curfew, he would probably go the whole time.
Wow.
But, you know, if he keeps up, I think, summit an hour, he can do it.
You know what? I'm going to ask the teams on the other shows to keep in touch with you. It's one of these uniquely Cape Town things about how many times you can summit Lion's Head in 24 hours. But Costa Papagiorgio, thanks so much for getting in touch with us.
Thanks so much, my friend.
Definitely keep the other shows informed. Guy called John Michel's trying to break a record of summiting Lion's Head 17 times. He'll do so. Hopefully try and beat that record before 10 o'clock tonight. But Louise in Fishhook, good morning. How are you?
I'm not too well, Lester.
Why not?
Because you told everybody about 2 months ago, you're not too familiar with South Africa in the period of the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a bit worried. I'm still worried about that.
I read up and I'm familiar. I think what was the name? Job Maseko is who we spoke about.
Yeah.
2 years
ago. Okay, maybe. But I mean, that is a very fascinating period. And the reason that I've done is to ask you, have you ever seen that movie, a South African produced movie, The Fourth Reich?
The Fourth Reich?
If you haven't. The Fourth Reich. I think it's on Netflix or... what's the other one? Showmax, Netflix or Showmax, yeah. If you can find it there, The Fourth Reich, South African produced movie, in the 90s or just after 2000. Very fascinating about and local actors and it's all covered that period with Jurgen Leibrand and Usabel Brandwach. So I just wanted to let you know that.
There is, and I am terribly, terribly lax in fulfilling my administrative duties. But in the days following that interview, and it's a book I've been slowly getting through, it's not very thick, it's not very dense, but it's been having to fill it with my time with so many other things that I need to read. But there's a book that was written by M.J. Honickman. And it's a book called There Should Have Been Five. And it's about the story of Job Maseko. And the, I think someone related to MJ Honkeman sent me the book and I've yet to give them a call. That is how bad my admin is. Yeah. But as soon as I'm done with that, I will definitely send my thanks. But it's fascinating. It's about the story of Black South Africa's involvement in World War II. So I am getting my reading in. Don't worry.
Yeah. And if I can just, Jenny Cruz Williams, who used to be with 702, I think.
That's right.
She's also written a book, and it's fascinating. It's called A Country at War. Mm-hmm. And, that also covers South Africa during the Second World War.
Louise, thank you for reminding me, and thank you for wrapping me over the knuckles. There's some thanks that I need to do with some people who had sent me some literature all those 2 months ago. 021-446-0567. Be like Louise and give me a call. 021-446-0567 or drop me a WhatsApp, 072-567-1567. Let's listen to more of your voice notes.
Yeah, Lester, now you're bringing back schoolboy memories. I'm 62 years old. My mother sent us to Tip Top Barber in Retreat. Those years for schoolboy haircut, and there was no choice. Even he never given us a choice for haircut. He will tell us. Your mother said, it's a schoolboy haircut. Yes, I can still remember the pictures that was on his wall. A lot of international soccer player pictures. And the conversations around was always around international soccer. Even I found it boring.
One thing I do remember about Tip Top Barber is that there was an old U magazine story. I don't know why, but it was what was then the world's fattest man. And for some reason, I'm drawn to that poster, the little pulled out U magazine, or was it a Heiskanua article of the world's fattest man? For some reason, was amongst all these football posters and old back copies of Sports Illustrated magazines. 021-446-0567. You can drop me a WhatsApp. 072-567-1567. The lines open. We have about 5 more minutes here on the Morning Review.